This is fun. The FU Network.
Now, let's listen.
Originating from Fun, the FU Network's based north of Toronto, and bringing in voices from coast to coast, this is FU Politics. Hello and welcome to FU Politics. I'm Ed the Sock. This show used to be known as Rock'em Sock'em Politics. That's a really long name. And when people are skimming through names in picking up their podcasts, that's just too much for people to read, because that's the attention span of people these days. A gnat seems like it's studious compared to people's attention spans. And so we're calling this FU Politics, and this is now the flagship show of the FU Politics channel, because I said so, and I make the rules there. Ah, it's good to be the king. And today we're going to talk about a couple of issues that are happening here in Canada. Now, there's no question that on everyone's mind is what's happening in the United States, is it's tearing itself apart in dealing with race issues that for too many years were suppressed or ignored, and contents under pressure will explode, and they have been. We're not going to talk about that, but I will have a comment about it at the end of the show. But today we're going to focus on things happening here in our home and native land of Canada. And the two issues we'll be talking about today are the adjourning of sittings of Parliament until September. And we'll also be talking about who is a journalist after, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, Keanu, I don't know, Bexty, was unceremoniously removed from a press gallery press conference event. And we'll get into that. But first, let's meet our panelists. Well, I feel like I'm hosting the newlywed game when I say something like that. All right. We got two returning favorites and two new people today, which is a great mix. Returning is Neil Wadewich, otherwise known as Neil Before Zod, who hosted a wonderful program here on the FU Politics channel. And we hope someday he'll be back when other stuff is not obstructing him. Neil is a journalist. He is a provocateur, in the sense that he provokes people to think with his tweets on Twitter. If you don't follow him, you should get there and follow him right away. At Neil Wadewich. What is your actual Twitter thing, Neil?
At Wadewich Neil.
At Wadewich Neil. I was almost right. I just inverted what you had inverted.
But you pronounced my name right, Ed, and that's all that matters.
Wadewich?
Yes, you got it. My mother-in-law doesn't, so congratulations.
It's spelled Wadewich. I don't understand why anybody would have... All right, never mind. People are stupid. I wasn't referring to your mother-in-law in that case. No. I don't want to get you in trouble. Neil, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back. And to answer your question, I do plan on working on some Zodcast for you.
Oh, I can't wait. We've got Mo Amir, who has one of the greatest podcasts in the history of Canada, called This Is Van Color. He is in Vancouver. And he's a journalist. He is a radio broadcaster. He is a man of many talents, and he is here with us. Hello, Mo.
Ed, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I will correct you. I'm not a journalist, just a podcaster. Happy
wait
to be
minute.
Here, though.
Wait. Do you not write for that website?
Yeah, I mean, you call me a writer. I'm not a journalist, so there's a different rubric.
Well, you know what? That's a good entryway into the second topic we're going to get to. But if I want to call you a journalist, I'm going to. Okay. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for reuniting me with my boy, Neil. I'm really excited about today. Thank you.
All right, Omer. Omer has one of the greatest beards in podcasting. That's all I'm going to say.
he's got a great beard for podcasts.
All right. Set of facial hair.
And joining us today, new Giovanni Petiti. He is a Rogers TV personality and school teacher from Brantford, Ontario. Hello, Giovanni.
Hey, guys. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here. I'm
all right. Now, listen, you say you're a Rogers TV personality. Didn't they shutter all those channels, those community channels?
No. All the good ones are still there. It's Guelph, Kitchener, Ottawa.
Really?
Everywhere except they just shut the ones down in the Toronto area because they don't want to have too much talent located in one spot.
No, it's because they're cheap ass bastards, and they decided that once they were able to take that money and put it into local news, which actually has revenue, they decided to do that, and they cut off this wonderful system that trained many people who are in broadcasting today, both in front of and behind the cameras, owe their careers to community television, including me, because I started at the smallest cable station in Toronto. And without that, you wouldn't have me here.
You're still a legend, Ed. You're still a legend.
Well, I wonder what I'm a legend for. But anyway, we'll move on from there. Also joining us, a graphic designer, editor, and writer from Edmonton, Alberta, Marjorie Campbell. Hello, Marjorie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Glad to have you, and welcome to both you and Giovanni. And let's dive right in, okay?
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
All right, so this week, after sort of a back and forth for a while about how Parliament was going to conduct itself while continuing to observe the social distancing rules, the Liberals and the NDP joined forces and passed a resolution or whatever so that Parliament is not going to be sitting in person, or what they kind of are. They made a compromise, but Parliament is basically somewhat risen until September. Now, what the news stories didn't tell you is they were planning on rising until September in a month. So it's only a few weeks difference, but they've expanded the virtual parliament, and they are going to have a few MPs in the actual building interacting with TV screens. So all this stuff about Trudeau dictatorship is kind of a load of shit, because parliament is continuing, and they're removing the focus on, limiting the focus to just questions about COVID. It's now wide open to ask questions about everything. How this is a dictatorship, I don't know. To quote the Princess Bride, you keep saying that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. I don't have a problem with this, because these are unprecedented times. So it calls for changes in how we do things. But the conservatives are really trying to dig into their base. Conservatives by nature are traditional and traditionists. And so to them, changing the tradition of how Parliament was done to adapt to modern technology and modern circumstances, it's somehow a spitting in the face of the Queen or something. Now let's see, I'll go first to Marjorie. Marjorie, how do you feel about the way Parliament has been handling the sitting during the COVID crisis and this most recent circumstance?
I think this is a typical perpetual campaign issue for the Conservatives. They've got to find something that they're going to bitch about, and here we go again. It's a non-issue for me. I think keeping people safe and leading by example is hugely important for our government to do if we're going to have people follow social cohesion or compliance, if you will. We can't expect our government to be behaving all differently. So sitting there and making a mountain out of a molehill seems to be the new politicking of the Conservative Party of Canada right now. So, everything is something that is like a stone in the shoe of Andrew Scheer and company. And it's just painful and pathetic to watch, frankly.
Well, I mean, they're just today on the recordings on the 30th, Trudeau blackface was trending again. And it's like, wow, if Trudeau has done nothing that you can comment on or criticize since the photographs and videos of stuff he did 2 decades ago and more came up, then I think that says that he's doing a good job now. They're just making themselves look like fools. Let's go over to Giovanni. Giovanni, how do you feel? Yay or nay?
I have to say I completely agree. I'm not a huge Trudeau fan, but I will give credit where credit is due. And I think he's done a very, very good job. And if this is what they're complaining about, it's really embarrassing. It really, really is. And I wish we could, at times like this, I mean, when everybody's health and the economy and is in serious jeopardy, that we can't put our differences aside. We still have to cheer for our own team in these sort of silos. You got to give credit where credit like is due. What is the difference if we wait 2 more weeks? Like, most of what happens in Parliament, I feel, is just a show anyway, right? Like, it's just a way for the opposition to try and make the government look bad and vice versa. So, and I think that can wait for 2 weeks, but huge, huge embarrassment for the Conservatives, absolutely.
Well, a huge, huge embarrassment for the Conservatives is Andrew Scheer continuing as leader and them letting him. So, yes. They deserve everything that they get. And, if the opposition party was actually doing what it's supposed to do, which is really asking questions for the benefit of Canadians, because that is a true healthy parliamentary system, instead of, as Marjorie said, just making this part of their perpetual campaign and a campaign that they're losing, I might say, well, maybe they have a point, but they don't. They're doing nothing of any value except saying, we could have done it better, and criticizing everything Trudeau does without really having an alternative that's workable. Mo Amir, your thoughts. Don't tell me, let me guess. You agree with Trudeau?
Well, you know, when it comes to the Prime Minister, I don't shy away from swinging the hammer, but I just really don't think it's appropriate to resume normal proceedings in the House right now. As you said at the top of the show, you know, they've been functioning with a special COVID-19 committee that's sort of been acting as a stand-in for the chamber. And what the Prime Minister has done is just expanded that committee so they're meeting twice as much as they were before. And MPs are now allowed to ask questions on issues other than the pandemic, as you also said, which I think is really important, especially in light of the scandal that Digital Government Minister Joyce Murray found herself in, with her WeChat channel becoming this ground for people to conspire against global Sam Cooper. On the Conservatives, you know, they've been using this dramatic language and calling this a fake parliament, but they haven't properly communicated their gripe. You know, if they're not allowed to bring in private members' bills, okay, what private members' bills are they trying to bring in? And what are Canadians being deprived of? Like, tell me what the deprivation is, as opposed to using this general hyper-dramatic language and saying that it's a dictatorship and it's a fake democracy and all this shit. You know, we are in unprecedented territory, and as that phrase has become cliche, it doesn't make it any less true. And I think Canadians are concerned about relief. They're concerned about relief to long-term care facilities, to businesses, to individuals. And while I don't think, you know, that response has been perfect, so much of it has been on the fly. And I have criticisms about the CERB and other measures, but I'm willing to cut the government a little slack and say that, you know, they've been relatively fast moving in getting relief to Canadians. And that's what Canadians care about. So I think this is a non-issue. The one thing I would say is that I think the NDP had a little more leverage in terms of what they could have got with going along with the Liberals here. If they got 10 paid sick days out of it for Canadians, but they probably could have squeezed a little bit more. And it just pains me to say that Jagmeet Singh has been absent at a time where he could be a lot more vocal in pressuring the government to adopt more of an NDP agenda. And that's kind of been the disappointing part for me.
Well, I think that Jagmeet Singh, it's probably better that he's been absent, because he rarely says anything that's worth repeating. It's just when he opposes things and they say, why do you oppose it? He doesn't have any idea why. Sorry, Marjorie.
That was very naughty.
I was very naughty?
That was naughty. Yeah.
Oh, you were nodding. Okay.
Yeah, me. No, the Jagmeet's in. I think he does have things to say, but yeah, he's hiding in a dugout somewhere. And I'm like, where have you gone?
Well, you know, I think that if the NDP really want to raise their profile, they should ditch Jagmeet, and they should go back and get the leader that really captured the imagination of Canadians and Canadians feel comfortable with, Jack Layton. Now, I know he's deceased. But we all saw Weekend at Bernie's at some point. And they should do Weekend at Bernie's with Jack Layton. Just bring him back. Sit him down in a chair. Because even dead, he has more animation and says more clever things than Jagmeet Singh. So this is what I think they should just dig him up and bring him back. He would approve of it because it would help NDP fortunes. Just even whatever state of decay he's in, he's in less decay than the support of the NDP federally. So
as long as he's still leaning left, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can lean him a little bit left. I mean, rigor mortis has long since passed, so he's probably more pliable than he would have been.
We are living in the zombie apocalypse, so that is very apropos.
Listen, people laugh, but someday this is going to happen. Neil Wadowich, your thoughts on the change to the way Parliament is sitting?
Well, Ed, I just want to start by saying that that was a Jagmeet zing that you laid out.
Oh!
Ding, ding.
All right, and Mo, I'm just going to start by mildly disagreeing with you and saying the NDP has zero leverage over what the government
does. Oh, thank God, somebody's disagreeing.
They have the block to do that. They don't need the NDP. I think that it's a smart idea. I think that it's the first thing of consequence that Jagmeet Singh has accomplished as leader of the NDP, besides having a good debate performance back in 2019. But here, I mean, everyone here knows me as a vocal opponent of the Liberal government. So I'm going to change tack here and say that I'd like to congratulate Rex Murphy for realizing what summer recess of Parliament is. All of these journalists who are claiming that this is an affront to democracy merely has to look at the House calendar in standing orders and realize that from June 23rd until the Monday after Labor Day, Parliament is under recess, so this is nothing new. And the fact that they're keeping it going with this COVID committee tells me that they're more open to democracy than previous governments. This is much ado about nothing. I think that giving the Conservatives a platform to continue to make fools out of themselves, I think this is a mercy killing for Andrew Scheer. It allows him to go out with the least amount of embarrassment as possible. And this is nothing different than any way the Parliament's been done, you know, besides the pandemic and the social distancing. But this really is nothing. It's such a Canadian scandal. It's embarrassing, frankly.
Well, you know, that we did our live tour, Leanna, Kay and I, we talked about how Canada sucks at scandals. Like our worst, you know, the United States, there's a president who is robbing the country blind, who's cutting environmental protection so that people can companies can poison, you know, local water tables and so on. He, you know, all the things he's done, the list is so long, and those are real scandals. There was even a porn star involved. In Canada, what are our scandals? Oh, one of the ministers felt like she was being pressured. And oh, they're adapting to the pandemic by changing the way Parliament is sitting. Oh boy, those are real scandals. No wonder there's never been, you know, America's had The West Wing, Madam Secretary, all these shows, House of Cards, set in the White House, in their government. The reason we've never had a drama set in House of Commons is because it would be just so damn boring. Like, you know, scandal week to week. Instead of who shot JR, it would be who gave JR a dirty look.
We should start the West Block A, and we can just make this Canadian, but it would literally be the most boring show in the world. They'd be arguing over who'd go to committee that day, who's going to get coffee in the PMO, you know, what tie will Justin wear for his presser. It would be the most boring television show ever.
We should do a show focused on the guy who chooses his socks.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's probably some scandal there, but there's also the fact that Canadians don't have an appetite for any narrative that doesn't jive with how nice we are. I used to work for the embassy in London, and you'd hear things coming over about how pages and how young people who were working got treated. And there's stuff there, but I don't think there's an appetite for reporting it in Canadian culture.
And you're right. I mean, that whole Tony Clement issue brought that to light, but nobody followed up with that. There was that young woman who was a political staffer who, you know, wrote quite passionately about her experience with Tony Clement, and it barely got any traction whatsoever. You know, Mike Gibbs, exactly. And that was when John Baird was talking about running again. I thought, okay, here comes like the shitstorm. But
yeah, no shitstorm ever comes.
It did. The shitstorm came over, and rightfully so, over the revelation that Trudeau as a teenager did blackface and at 29 was a little overactive in trying to blend in as a genie or something in Aladdin.
Yeah.
There was a big shitstorm there, but a lot of that was just because everything was, you know, everything's on adrenaline during an election campaign. I think that if that stuff came out now after an election, there would still be outcry, but it would be far more muted and more people would be willing to say, all right, he did stupid things when he was younger. So did we.
I have one kind of comment because I feel like I can't let the blackface trending thing not be like.
Go ahead.
I feel like who is saying what when? We have a very white problem in our journalist representation, an underrepresentation of people of color, Indigenous people, and Black people. And so we can dismiss this as a hullabaloo because we have a group of people holding the space on the mic who probably don't have a lot to say on the subject with any kind of authority. And I think the issues of race in Canada get swept under the carpet quite easily by a predominantly white male journalist representation.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of, my experience, there are a lot of women in journalism as well. I think I personally know more female journalists than I know male journalists. That's just anecdotal, which is not, certainly not scientific.
As a person who could be called Karen, I do feel like, even that, there's a lot of privilege in being a white middle-class woman. So, you know, the fact is that I am here, I'm talking, but I'm fully aware of the fact that I'm taking a space of someone who might alternately be talking and with more authority on the subject of race.
No, you're not, because I put out a wide net and sent out the email to lots of people, including people of color. And you were the ones that responded with the you know, interest and expressing your opinions. So you're not taking the space. Space was offered, and I would have, it wasn't a limited number of people. And besides, Mo is here, so we're okay.
you meet a quota. If I could just add to that, though, I would say that in the metropolitan areas, you know, there is a good diversity of journalists in terms of race, gender, whatever else. Where I think there is representation lacking, however, is the op-ed pages. So oftentimes commentators are predominantly white males. You don't see a ton of female commentators. You don't see a ton of people who are of color that are commentators. That is the one area. I mean, you just have to open up the National Post and see their op-ed section. That is the one area where I think we are lacking quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not true that the people in the National who write in the National Post are all white. Some of them are slightly off-white.
That's right, Murphy.
Yeah. And if I could just comment that I think that, you know, to step backwards, first of all, Tony Clement, I'll tell you that I feel sorry for him. I think he got a raw deal because, yes, he sent out pictures of his genitalia to somebody, but we all know how this happens, right? He said he was tricked into sending it. And what guy hasn't received a phone call or an email from somebody saying that they're with the gas company and they're concerned that there's a gas leak in that person's house that they might not be able to detect? So can you please take pictures of your genitalia and send them to us? I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Fool me once, but the second time, yeah, I take responsibility for that.
Yeah, now, Giovanni, you wanted to make a point about blackface?
Yeah, sure. To me, a lot of it has to do with Trudeau presenting himself as this savior, as this perfect person, and then he gets caught with these pictures. It's a bit like a TV preacher getting caught having an affair, right? Like, people have affairs, people make bad judgments, but this guy, I mean, he put himself out to be pure as pure and the champion of all the people, and I'm not sure he would have forgiven anyone else to the same level that we're expected to forgive him. I don't think that he's a racist. I think he did something stupid. I think I'm happy that I grew up in a generation where taking a picture, it was probably $12.95. So if you took a picture of something, it had to be extremely important. But having said all that, he had a lot coming to him because, you know, he set himself out to be this incredible savior, and it didn't look good on him. So.
Well, this is something we covered in previous shows, in that Trudeau kind of did this to himself, and I never liked the Trudeau was doing what he did, first of all, because that's how the campaign was crafted, and the candidate has some input on campaign, how they're crafted, but not full say. They usually leave it to the professionals, and they made it so that it was like Barack Obama. There was no way he was not going to disappoint somebody or many people, because nobody can be that clean. I like him better with a little bit of tarnish, because then I know, okay, this is somebody who's made mistakes and has learned from them, and his activities as prime minister indicates he's learned from them, and he doesn't continue to do the kind of things that he did. So I like somebody who's screwed up and has learned from it. Otherwise, we're still waiting for them to screw up, and they're gonna. So I agree with you that whole campaign was set up to make him look like Jesus coming back. And it wasn't. And, you know, that there's the fact that they went back so far to find this shit. And then Andrew Scheer, you only had to go back a little while to find out that he had these attitudes towards gays. One person apologized, one person didn't. And I think we see the results. But also talking about Rex Murphy and the way he put, you know, the way he's misrepresenting this change in the parliamentary schedule, he's playing on the general ignorance of Canadians, and I don't know who to blame there, him or our lack of proper education on civics and understanding how our government works, or is it, do we blame people for, even if they don't know, not educating themselves? I don't know, but why don't we were talking about press. Neil, you have a thought?
Well, basically, when it comes to this, you know, this Trudeau blackface hashtag, and I mean, first of all, I called it a roll call for idiocy because, frankly, it's like the who's who of alt-right bots and alt-right accounts that are perpetuating that. But I've always thought when it came down to that, that I didn't feel qualified to comment about the pictures of Justin Trudeau. I'm a white man. I've never been discriminated against. I've never had racist or sexist or ignorant comments made to me. I'd rather try to sit back and listen to people who have. And to beware of anyone who's never faced systematic racism in the past, who are using this this hashtag to turn one person's struggle into an opportunity to score political points. I think it's absolutely disgusting.
Yes.
And I find that, you know, anybody who's posting on these hashtags they have no cares whatsoever for the legitimate struggle. And I know we're not talking about the George Floyd thing, but we can't look any further than that to say, well, you know, there's a legitimate conversation to be had here, but bringing this back up when we really have nothing to add to the conversation, it's wrong in my opinion. And I think that, those are my thoughts on that.
All right. Interesting, the language the conservatives are using, fake parliament. You know, it's like Trump the home game. You know, fake, this is now the word that people who follow Trump's type of thinking use, fake parliament. It's not accidental that they chose that. That's a dog whistle to their dogs. Now let's move on to talking about what happened this week during a press conference held by the Prime Minister. He does them daily from the Rideau Cottage, updating Canadians on, you know, how we're doing with the pandemic, how the government is responding. And this cancer on the body politic of journalism, Kian Bexty, I'm going to call him Keanu, because if he finds that out, it'll probably annoy him. So Keanu Bexty he went to a parliamentary the press conference. He was ejected on the orders of a person from the parliamentary press gallery, and he went out. He was out front, and the RCMP officer asked to see his phone and see the pictures he had taken. He refused, and the RCMP officer said he's not under arrest, but he took his arm, twisted it behind his back, and walked him out. And the more he talked, the more Bexty talked, the more the pressure increased on the arm. I have to admit, I was very uncomfortable looking at that. I think that I've even had conflicts with Keanu on social media. I think that he is a despicable excuse for a journalist. Nonetheless, a court indicated during the last election that he is in fact a journalist. The court issued an injunction forcing the Liberals to put that piece of crap on their tour bus, their campaign bus. So he is, in fact, an accredited journalist, according to the court. Our opinion doesn't matter in this case. They do. The court does. So I was not too pleased to see the way that they handled it, because Rebel exists by continuing to create this idea that conservatives are under siege. And the way they handled Bexty just gave grist for the mill. It probably raised thousands of dollars for Ezra Levant's Rebel, just by they did that. That RCMP officer is going to be on every brochure for fundraising from the Rebel. You got to do these things smart. Just have the guy there, but fucking ignore him. And the most they'll do is be able to say, they ignored me, they didn't let me talk. Well, that's not going to gain any traction. But seeing the guy forced out physically and put into some level of pain and discomfort while doing it, I'm not happy with that. And it bothers me to no end that because of my principles, I'm forced into a position where I'm siding with somebody from that cesspool where journalism goes to die, called the Rebel. But in this case, I have to stand by my principles and say that wasn't right. Let's get some opinions. Let's go first to Neil Wadewich.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say that I was visually aroused when I saw that video, because I wasn't. I'm just going to say this right now. I find, and I'm not going to debate you with your usage of the word journalist. I'm going to discuss accreditation and whether Kian had to be in there. If you watch his own video, he basically says, I'm going to see if they let me in. Only someone who knows he does not have proper credentials would say something that stupid on camera. Now, so we've already established, you know, by his own words, that he wasn't accredited to be there. Yes, he got through the first level of security, which apparently almost anyone can. Apparently, he showed his accreditation. But when he was challenged on having a proper accreditation, it was clear that he wasn't. He wasn't accredited to be there. Whatever rules and standards may be there in that, apparently he broke. But
Hold on. Let me stop you there. Because he has stated that he has tried for 2 months to get any answers and get any participation in this with the prime minister, and he's been stonewalled. And while I don't think he's actually a journalist, the court's determined that he is. And I don't like the idea that only some people can get in to the press conferences. I don't like that this is some kind of elite country club. And yes, he's a piece of crap and he's not really a journalist, but the court says he is. And somebody shouldn't be stonewalled for 2 months. It's just wrong. Yeah, he said, let's see if they let me in, because he knows that he hasn't been for 2 months. He got no response. He's got no traction. And if I could just read the from the parliamentary press gallery, membership is open to any journalist whose primary function is to report on parliamentary or federal government news and who lives in Ottawa and requires access to parliamentary facilities to perform his or her job. Okay, they cover the activities of not only the legislature and committees, but also the prime minister, cabinet, and the public service. And now Trudeau is not in charge of the press gallery. It says here that it's supported by a secretariat employed by parliament. These staff members are not affiliated with media organizations, but are referred to as press gallery staff. They are employees of the parliament and report to the clerks of the House of Commons and Senate. So it's not Trudeau that threw him out, though I'm sure he was glad the guy was gone. But if when you're stonewalled for 2 months, you are forced into a position where you do try to sneak your way in, because there is, you've not, but trying to go through the proper channels, those channels have been shut down for you. Go ahead, Neil.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say that Kian Bexty is a complete piece of shit. And that's something we can all agree on. You're talking about a guy whose job before he worked for Rebel Media was working for Fire Force Ventures, which is a white supremacist retailer. I don't believe that what the Rebel does is journalism, in all honesty. I think that, so like what my grandmother, who blogs about gardening and has a following on Instagram, doesn't make her a journalist. I believe that you have to serve a purpose to... I mean, this is a big muddy area, but I have always had a problem with calling what Ezra Levant does as media. They're a political advocacy group that he raises money to live his lifestyle. Has been, you know, it's been established by people who have looked into him that this is a racket for him. And I have no problem. I have no problem not giving the Rebel Media accreditation to these events.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Sorry to interrupt. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. The court has determined that he is a journalist, an accredited journalist. Are you okay with somebody who's been ruled to be an accredited journalist, who was, by the court's actions, compelled the Liberals to put him on the media bus? Are you okay with somebody who is an accredited journalist being left out of and stonewalled because we don't like what their politics are?
Well,
I
would have to see who else is waiting and looking for proper accreditation to get into the parliamentary press gallery. I don't think it's as easy or as simple to get into as that. And I'd like to see who else is being held out of this at this point. Who else is waiting for accreditation? What's the general period of time for a journalist to wait for accreditation? He's talking about 2 months. Well, if you've seen how the wheels of government and bureaucracy works, 2 months doesn't seem very long to me. So I want to see what the previous standards were before commenting on that.
All right, but here's the thing. He didn't get any response at all. Usually you get something saying, we are considering it, we are reviewing it. You got no response at all. That is not okay with me. At least tell them no. But they just saying nothing, you know, that's the modern way of saying fuck off, is people just don't respond. I don't support that. So again, because I'm supporting a principle, it seems like I'm aligning with him. I don't find him as an individual to be creditable, but I'm looking at the fact that the court's determined that this person is a journalist and the press gallery is stonewalling an accredited journalist, and I do not support that as a principle. Now, I'm going to go to Marjorie in a minute, but first I'm going to go to Neil. Neil, you have a thought. Or sorry, I already just talked to Neil.
Lots of thoughts.
I know. Keep them to yourself at this moment. Giovanni has a thought about what Neil has to say.
Yeah, with all due respect, like to Neil, I think that he's wrong. It's you're right, Ed. It is the principle. He's unwanted there. The prime minister doesn't want him there. So despite the fact that he went through all the proper channels, they decided that they're not going to let him in. You have to realize that if you don't respect the process, Justin Trudeau is not going to be prime minister forever. One day there'll be somebody in that office that you don't like. And if you give Trudeau the right to ban someone, then they're going to ban someone that you like. All right.
Wait, hang on. Got to stop you there. Trudeau is not the person who administrates the press gallery. It is independent. So it's not right to say Trudeau doesn't want him there and Trudeau's keeping him out. Trudeau is not the person in charge of the press gallery. It's independent.
Right. Correct. Accordingly to the journalists, whether it could be right or wrong, that he has close ties with the prime ministers, that he insinuated that they're in each other's pocket. But let's say,
of course he did. He's with the rebel.
Right.
Well, of course he did.
Right. But let's look at the question that, according to him, he wanted to ask. So he wanted to ask a question that apparently there was a meeting on January the 23rd with officials from around the world to discuss whether they wanted to declare this a global health emergency. So China voted no on January 23rd. And so our Canadian representative, Dr. Tam, voted. As far as we know, no one knows how she voted. His question was, how did you vote? Now, because people like him don't have typewriters that have a period, the follow-up question was, how would she have voted? And does she represent China instead of Canada? Like, we understand where it's going. As despicable as the question is, the first half of the question, I think, has merit. As despicable as the second half of the question is, you're right. Let him ask the question. Have the prime minister say, what do you mean by that exactly? Put him on the spot. Have him answer. And at the end of the day, if the prime minister says, I refuse to answer the question, then that's fine. But you can't now. He looks like a superstar. And you're right. There is this narrative that the right is always under attack. Like, you know, there would be no Donald Trump if there was no CNN. Like, there's this belief that these people's backs are up against the wall. And so you're putting fuel on the fire in this case. Let him in. Let him ask his questions, especially after banning him from the campaign bus. It's just not right. On principle, it's not right. And this will come back to bite you in the ass if you agree with it. It's only a matter of time.
All right, now let's go to Marjorie. Marjorie has some things to weigh in with, and then we'll go to Mo.
Okay, I guess my feeling is this. You mentioned the intention of the person getting accreditation, and I think that is actually a very important point here. I don't know that Kian has anything else in his bag of tricks beyond the gotcha of the kind of the Caitlin Bennett style of gun girl, where you go out and put yourself in a position to be made awkward and persecuted. I don't know that he has anything else in his bag to ask questions. Yeah, he had one good question, but the intention of that organization is to fundraise to pay for that organization, Rebel, and it is for people like Ian to get the gotcha moments to perpetuate the narrative of the persecuted right. And I feel like, honestly, having worked in government, you don't have days and weeks, you have months and years. That's the time frame of government. And I feel like, you know, maybe he got a temporary accreditation when he was on the bus rather than the active membership that is the other option. But you get this kind of like thing where we are allowing him to have the entire narrative. I don't feel sorry for him. I think the right is abundantly represented in the media in Canada, in the press. I mean, we look at how we've allowed our press to be turned into, conglomerates that are owned by the same group of people. So it's like a unified voice across Canada in terms of journalism. And this is really about making money for the rebel media. And I don't feel uncomfortable with how he was treated, because having worked in a situation where you are dealing with security issues, when you are at the gates of an embassy or you are at the gates of the prime minister's residence or wherever he's living, you have a situation where you are told to move along and you should probably do so for security reasons. And I think that, like, this is the point, that he knows what he's going into and he's playing to his audience. And I'm sorry, but, like, I don't think I think it's very relevant to sort of have the same, no, I won't debate you. We don't need to necessarily legitimize some of these outlier and sort of basically cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs perspectives by giving them the space and in the platform as if they were legitimate journalists when they are not. And their perspectives are so outrageous that you kind of, like, I don't think we should put them on the platform and debate them. Like, this is the failure of the Socratic method, in that it gives the idea that one of these arguments is equal to the other when it isn't. And Kean Bexit is just that man. And he's like the epitome of the mediocre, underperforming, entitled white dude who thinks he can insinuate himself anywhere just because of his privilege, and I'm done with it.
All right, Neil, go ahead.
Hey, listen, I'm going to continue to hold my media organizations to a higher standard. I don't believe what Ezra Levant and Rebel Media does is journalism. I don't care what the courts say. I don't feel that we have any obligations to legitimize the bullshit that Kean Bexstein and Rebel Media are pushing. I'm sorry. Man, the Parliamentary Press Gallery removes people and adds people at all times. But truthfully, you know, this is how the Rebel Media wins. They win because they have good faith reporters wringing their hands over idiocy like this. We're getting bogged down in this, and frankly, there's nothing that anyone can say that will convince me that Kean Bexstein, that's like saying that I deserve, you know, I'm on Twitter, therefore I should be given accreditation because I published a few things somewhere. No, I don't think that I'm a journalist. I don't think that I have any right to be there. I hold my media organizations to a higher standard.
Listen, it doesn't really matter. Like, you can't say you don't care what the courts say, because that's what conservatives, or I would say right wingers, do. They go, I don't care what the courts say. I don't care what the facts are. I know what I feel. And you can't do that. The court said he's a journalist. He's a journalist. I don't agree. You don't agree. But we're not the courts. And
saying that he's not legitimate. That's all.
Well, yeah, but they said he was legitimate. Hold on a sec, Marjorie. Yeah. Your point, first of all, I don't want to talk about Keanu's bag. That goes back to the pictures of Tony Clement. But I will say that he was trending. Rebel was trending. His name was trending. Reno Cottage was trending. It was trending for hours. If he had just been allowed in and ignored or shut down, he wouldn't have been trending. And as far as him just being there to raise money for the Rebel, what do you think reporters from CBC and CTV and Global are there for? They're there so they can get good. And if they can get a gotcha, you're damn sure they're going to use it, because they're there to raise money for, to attract advertisers and ratings and so on for their organizations as well. So that's not a reason to delegitimize somebody. And again, this is not about him, the individual, who I think he's a rather odious individual. This is about the principle of the court says he's a journalist and he's being stonewalled by the press gallery. And I don't like that principle because, as Giovanni said, it's not always going to be Trudeau, who's the prime minister. If a Harper-type guy gets into the prime minister's office and they're keeping out people who are seen as being too far left, we wouldn't approve of that. It's a question of whose ox is being gored. And in this case, my ox is being gored because I don't like the principle that's being violated. Marjorie, you were going to say something? Hang on. Mo hasn't had a chance to talk. Mo, you go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of in the same camp as Neil and Marjorie. One thing I do want to add, though, is Ed, in your description of the accreditation for the Parliamentary Press Gallery, you mentioned something about the primary function of the journalist being the legislative beat. I'm not convinced that the legislative beat is Kean's primary function. I mean, he's out there chasing Jessica Yaniv and Greta Thunberg, and he's doing, you know, as a generous term, offbeat stories. He's not a legislative reporter. I don't see the big gripe with not accrediting him. He hasn't done anything to prove that he's a legislative reporter. I mean, he's out here crying about the death of democracy because he's not allowed to holler some bullshit at the prime minister. Fuck out of here, man. Like, this guy is not He can be a journalist as per the courts, but in terms of being a legislative reporter, I don't think that there's any evidence to prove that. I don't think he covers that beat. He's just out there, as my fellow panelists have said, he's just out there to manufacture these scandals as a way to raise money for Ezra Levant. I have no problem. Sure.
Of course I can. There is, in addition to being a full member of the press gallery, they also give temporary memberships to people who need to cover parliament on a limited basement. Wow, talking about a Freudian slip. Limited basis.
Levantian slip.
Yes. Let's not give Levant any, let's not make him into an adjective. So he does cover parliament on a limited basis that is covered in temporary membership. So they still should be replying to him. Say yes or no, but don't just leave it in the ether.
But I think that's a separate issue. So maybe they, I would agree with you there. So that's a separate issue. I think they should to say no, in my opinion. But in terms of this incident of him getting kicked out of that press meeting, I mean, did the RCMP handle it properly? Well, there was instructions that he's not accredited, he shouldn't be there. He was asked to leave the premises, and he didn't. So they twisted his arm a little, and he cried like a little bitch. And I think what's more disturbing about this to me is, as you've mentioned, this thing was trending, and Kean has somehow elevated himself as a media personality in this country, and I think that is disturbing. I think that speaks to the darker underbelly of Canadians, and it's shameful. And it's not about Kean, it's about a certain portion of Canadians that see this, that don't see Kean and rebel media for what they are. And they fall into these false narratives about Canada being destroyed, and unfortunately has a lot of racial undertones at the benefit of, again, Ezra Levant lining his pockets.
All right, but Sorry, Giovanni, I'll come to you in 1 second. Again, if they just stood there and blocked him from going in, and just blocked his access and just ignored him, let him talk and let him go and just be like the guards in front of Buckingham Palace and just don't respond, he would have just eventually looked like an idiot. Like I said in a tweet, let this person make a fool of himself. Don't let him make a fool of you. And that's what he did. And I guarantee you thousands of dollars were raised. And these people, Mo, who are believing this narrative are people who are seeking out this narrative. They're not people who were objective and all of a sudden found this and said, I believe this now. They're people who were looking for bias confirmation, and they found it. So these people would have, they believed this shit to begin with. Now they got someone to point to and say, see, they believe it, and they have access to these things, and they know more than me, so obviously I'm right because they agree with me. Giovanni, go ahead.
No, I just want to say...
No, I'm sorry, that was...
I have to be honest, I'm not really familiar with his work. He seems like a bit of a dirtball, but how come no one else asked this particular question, and how our representative voted at this WHO meeting? Like,
there may have been more important questions than that, because you find out how she voted, so what? Mo, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, it seems to me that he wasn't accredited to be there. And again, that's a separate issue from him getting accreditation.
But how can he get accredited if they never respond to him?
No, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's a separate issue. So in terms of letting him access into that Trudeau presser, you're saying that they should have just stood there and kind of ignored him and let him walk away.
No.
I don't know how.
No, Mo, okay, just so ahead. I can clarify, I think that it was okay to remove him from the press conference. But once he was out of the press conference and he was standing out on that driveway, just ignore him at that point. He can no longer really do any damage at that point. Just ignore him.
Yeah, we can agree on that, sure.
Oh, good. Well, then look at that, communion. Marjorie, some thoughts?
So first of all, just because something is law doesn't mean it's good.
Segregation, of course not, but it's law.
Yeah, no, segregation was legal. It doesn't mean that you should stop striving to change it when you identify that something is unacceptable and wrong.
And I agree we should try to change his accreditation or try to challenge it, but...
I don't think we have a situation where we know the full facts, as Neil was saying, about what has been and not been done with his accreditation. The only place they're ignoring that his narratives is in not answering that accusation. And that if they were just clear it up and say, you know, what, for whatever reason we didn't answer him or whatever, that would clear it up and it would take the wind out of his sails, which is, I think, the ultimate goal in the end. But here's the other thing. I know we said we weren't going to discuss whether he was a journalist, but he has a tendency to stalk women and use intimidation with them when he's dealing with them. He got up onto the floor of the hotel where a 16-year-old girl was and got up in her face, presented himself as a fan to get some selfies taken with her, and then started verbally abusing her. That was Greta Thunberg. He's done this with any number of activists in Alberta, and he has a tendency to bring a large crowd of very physically large and imposing men with him in many cases, and it is a habit. So for me, looking at his behaviors, he has a security risk component to his behaviors when he deals with females. So yeah, Trudeau's not a girl, but there's a lot of women in the room. So I feel like in many cases, that's something that also needs to be addressed about his consistent behavior and the kind of things that, you know, it's almost like we keep ignoring this longstanding problematic behavior on his part. And, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, there's a deep sort of slight abiding satisfaction I watched seeing him get led out by his arm. It looked a lot like when my 8-year-old shouts out, ow, when his sister gives him a little smack on the arm and he lies down on the ground like he's going to have his arm amputated. There was a lot of that involved. So it was theater. But I feel like, you know, the thing with him is it's, again, giving him a platform and legitimizing him by putting him in the room. I think you're right. Answer him and say, fuck off into the sun, and here are the 5 reasons why. But apart from that, I do feel like, you know, why are we fucking giving these assholes time of day? You know, put the lid on the pot and smother the fire is what we should be doing. And we should also, like, literally do not debate them at any time, at any consequence. Don't get involved with them. You're not going to change hearts and minds. This kicking them out, the same people are convinced of the same things as they were yesterday or the day before when it happened. This is not persuading any of the people who are going into this kind of extreme perspective. I think it's a north-south problem that we're having, where some of the contagion from the mindset that is coming up from the United States and some of the people glomming on to that way of behaving and politicking, it's affecting us. And I think this is like the kind of, he's like the disease that you're seeing growing, and he's the symptom of it. And I don't think we should be like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, that's my feeling with
him. All right. Okay, but here's the thing, Marjorie. The way this was handled did not smother him. It added fuel to the fire. And that's what I'm saying. And as far as him being allowed in there and asking questions, well, if the Prime Minister hears these questions, which some people have, and then he provides answers and shuts this guy down, it then provides information for those of us who want to shut down other people that we know who parrot Bexty's nonsense. We now have information coming from the Prime Minister about how to shut this person down, using information only the Prime Minister and, you know, people have, or that they have perhaps a platform to distribute to us. It's the same way Trump and Andrew Scheer, they make statements and ask questions which are really dog whistles telling their hordes the questions they should ask and the tack they should take, the way they should pivot or the way they should lean on an issue. It's giving instructions. Well, if you let this asshole go in there and ask a stupid question and you shut him down properly, then we now have fuel on our fire to shut this down. We have artillery. Artillery? What the hell's the matter with me today? We have artillery to shut him down. We now know how to shut down people who say things like him. But as far as him being a security risk, 100% I agree with you. And they should say that. They should send a thing saying, look, we're not letting this guy in because he's demonstrated himself to be a security risk. Just tell him that. Then the rebel has the opportunity to say, to appeal it, or to say, we're going to send somebody else. And they'll deal with that person at that time. But can answer him.
Can I just say one thing? I feel like here's the other thing. Maybe this is like a girl perspective, and as someone who I have slightly more mic time as a white woman, but like slightly less time as a woman. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to even have that. I feel like there's an issue with who gets in the room. Like, this jackass will take up a space. Who gets to speak? Who doesn't get to speak? Kian gets in, who doesn't get in? And we're always pandering to these bullshit artists who should just fuck off. I mean, like, why can't we ever get, like, are we getting First Nations media representation in there? Are we getting, like, we need those voices and those questions. And maybe we need to talk about another sub-issue, which is the sad state of our Canadian media right now.
I made that note while you were talking. That's definitely a subject we need to talk about.
Yeah, and I feel like here's the thing. Like, I am so frustrated as a woman being told to wait my turn all the time. And I can only imagine, as an ally to people of color and Indigenous people, that you're sitting there going, holy fuck, why is it always some dumbass white dude's turn to go to the mic so we can appease him and shut that shit down, when actually we should just tell him to fuck off and give somebody a turn at the mic who hasn't had a turn. And this
is the thing. I think that let him to the mic and then tell him to fuck off.
Well, I think get him to the mic. Get somebody else to the mic, because he should sit the fuck down.
Well, once he gets there, though, he's going to expect to be there all the time. And the truth is,
if he's a temporary member, no, he shouldn't expect that.
But there are, for people who join a parliamentary press gallery, and even if you were to look at the ethical standards of the Canadian Association of Journalists, that Kian Bexley and Rebel Media do not match. They don't match even the most basic of those ethical guidelines. That the way he chased Selena Chavez down that one day, you know, to the point where her husband had to get in between them, what he did to Emily Latham, would he be able to actually behave into, you know, I just don't think that he's there to do that. I don't think that he is there to. I've always thought that journalists, the people who are in the room, are there to ask questions on my behalf, because I'm not in there, and I don't feel in my heart that that's what the Rebel Media is.
Well, is he? He may not be there to answer on your to ask on your behalf. He might be there to ask on behalf of people who think differently than you. But as far as him being a security risk and his ethics and his behavior being something that would, you know, bar him from being in there, I 100% agree with you. But tell him so. Give him an answer and say, no, you're not coming in, and here's the reasons why. I think that needs to be done. Yeah. You're giving him artillery. I didn't screw up the word that time. You're giving him artillery when you give him the ability to say, nobody's getting back to me. Because that stinks. That's just not right. There's a lot of justification for keeping him out of there. Then tell him. And say, look, we're not letting you in because of these reasons. Let there be consequences for the way he's behaved. Because if you say to him, you're not getting in because of this incident and this incident and this incident, we determine you to be a security risk, and we determine that you don't fall into the line of an ethical journalist based on the code by the independent Council of Journalists, that says to people, you can't act like Bexley does towards women and other people and still expect to be taken seriously. I think that showing that there's consequence for the way he's behaved is better than just not answering him. That's just my crazy idea. Marjorie.
So I was reading a thread on Twitter posted by Sandy Hudson. I don't know if you saw that one.
Absolutely excellent.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, this is the kind of thing that you see. We don't see behind the scenes where she's in the pre-interview and she doesn't give the CBC the line they want. They're looking for a comment on George Floyd and Amy Cooper. And we forget, they basically omit, the CBC doesn't want her basically to go anywhere near the fact that Amy Cooper is Canadian and or has Canadian connections. And they don't want to discuss the race issue in Canada. They also have, she talks about some things that they might find a little objectionable. So some of the people are getting close to being able to speak, and then they're being shut down at the gate. And I see that there's a parallel in a sense that Kian Bexley is getting shut down at the gate, like quite literally. But I do feel like I don't have any sympathy for that. I feel like legitimate voices, and as Neil brought up, with the intention of actually doing journalism to represent the group of people that they do beyond the gotcha stuff. And I'm not saying gotcha isn't catching you out with a great question. I mean, literally catching you out because you told me no and now I'm going to behave like a petulant child. This is different in that there are voices being shut down who legitimately we need to hear about race and about the connection between race issues in the States and race issues in Canada that we like to pretend don't exist. I think, Kian is in there. It's like a false narrative that we're going to buy into, and any kind of putting him in the room to shut him down nonsense is not okay. Like, it signals to people like Sandy Hudson, that she's right in thinking nobody wants her in the room and nobody has any interest in hearing what she has to say. And I think it's long past due that we put people in a position who can ask the questions for those communities who are underrepresented in the media. And Kian Bexit and his buddies are well and truly overrepresented in our media in North America.
I don't know, is there an overrepresentation of complete assholes?
Yes, there is.
All right. Mo, I'd like to hear from you, then Giovanni, and then we'll bring it into our landing. Mo, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if I have much to add to what's being said. I agree with Marjorie. I agree with Neil. So,
All right. Giovanni, how about you? Something to add?
Yeah, I mean, it's really scary because if we deny this person access, then and if he has proven himself to be through the courts that he is a journalist and he has accreditation, you might not like it. But you have to listen to the court because it's going to be him today, and tomorrow it's going to be somebody that you like, a voice that you want to be heard. And when there's a videotape that comes out of a woman or someone who's having their arm twisted and taken away from the gate, it's going to be a completely different narrative. Like, to me, the best way to get at these people is let them talk. The more they talk, the stupider they sound. And the more they are exposed for who they are. By doing this, by hiding them and shutting them down, now everyone thinks, oh, what is the government so afraid of? Like, what is this person has to say that they doesn't want the rest of us to hear? Again, I don't like the guy, but I believe that by protecting his rights, it protects the rights for all of us.
As Marjorie said, you know, space is finite. Time is finite, you know.
I agree with that.
You're taking away space from other people. I agree.
I think that Giovanni makes a good point, and I say that because he's agreeing with my point, which is that you have to separate the individual from the principle. But at the same time, I agree with Marjorie's point, which is that there are a finite number of questions that get to be asked, and if we let this guy in more than once, and to shut him down, then he's taking up space. He's taking up oxygen that could go to somebody who's going to ask something that, to Neil's point, benefits more Canadians to hear the answer to, or the non-answer, which itself is an answer. But there are people who are there truthfully to serve the point of getting to the bottom of something. And if we let too many assholes like this piano guy in, then yeah, it's taking up space, and that is very valuable, precious space. So while I agree with you guys and disagree with you guys at the same time, I am very, very Canadian. Neil, you get a final point.
Listen, I agree in principle with what Giovanni said, and I didn't mean to come off as belligerent as I did earlier. But I was Canadian belligerent. Okay,
yeah, okay, there you go. Okay,
which is like
your voice a little bit.
Which means you said you were sorry later.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm always
apologizing now.
I'm apologizing for apologizing, but in all honesty. Okay, listen, anyone who's been in Ottawa, who's been in that culture knows that everything is bureaucracy. And I need to know that how many people are declined from being in there? How long does it generally take for an application to the Parliamentary Press Gallery to take? How many people are rejected? I need to see those things before I can decide whether an injustice has been done to Kian Bexty. That I don't know how it works, and maybe this is going to open up a window into it. But I'd have a hard time believing that everybody gets in. I have a hard time believing that people, regardless of if you consider yourself or the courts consider you to be a journalist, not everyone gets into the Parliamentary Press Gallery. I think it's like the big league of politics. I also think that, to most point, that it serves a parliamentary purpose. There are people who cover parliament as a rule. And I don't think that Bexty, you know, meets those requirements. So, I mean, I'd have to know more how it works.
Before. All right. But here's the thing, Neil, I agree with you, but he should be rejected and given a reason. I think that just leaving it in the ether is a mistake.
It's been 2 months, Ed. And in all honesty, I don't think that.
Listen, Neil,
I don't think that's a long time in politics.
Neil, I can submit a question to a web server, and they send me back an automatic response saying, "We've received your response, and we're processing it." There's no reason that can't be done. And to my knowledge, that was not done. I was going to make that the last comment, but because Marjorie is new, I'm going to give her the last point to make. Marjorie.
Thank you very much for that. I think this does speak to this civics lesson thing. I'm pretty sure that Keane did get an automated reply, but they're going to always color the narrative to be the woe is me, poor downtrodden white supremacists that they are. And I'm going to definitely cry lots of tears for that, not. I think that we are overwhelmed by our perceptions of what the Westminster parliamentary system is and is not based on American television programs. And we have no idea what it is that we are living in as far as our civil rights and responsibilities are. And I think this is why it's easy for someone like Kian Bexit to manipulate the narrative, which is total bullshit. He doesn't have the same kind of supposed freedoms the Americans have. I think it's easy to manipulate an undereducated constituency like we have. You look at, I live in Alberta, our government is actively working to continue to perpetuate lack of education on civics by the kind of mandate they have to cut education. They want a dumb population who is easy to pacify. And this is like why the rise of people like Rebel Media and Donald Trump, et cetera, can do what they do, and they have all that juice to do it, is because we don't know any better. And until we do, we can't push back.
You know what? I'm glad I went to you last. That was a very fine summation. Well done.
I got a gold star.
Yeah, and I'm not being facetious, which is strange for me. Well done. All right, we're going to bring it in for a landing now. I think that a lot of points have certainly been churned up on the second issue. The first issue, we were so Canadian, we all agreed with each other, even with some mild disagreements. But we certainly, I think, fleshed out this debate. And I thank you because you guys brought to the table some things I hadn't considered. And you've helped to shape my thinking on this, hopefully some other people as well. So thank you very much for your contributions to public discourse, because as we do here on FU Politics, we take the issues that people want to know about, and we don't use jargon, we don't have paid political pundits, we don't have professional political proxies, we have people who are intelligent and know how to speak about issues, but maintain a sense of humor and can speak in the language of everyday people, so people who are not part of the political elite or the chattering classes can understand what the core of the issue is. So good job to everybody today. Well done. Our panelists have been Marjorie Campbell, and she's out in Edmonton, the graphic designer, editor, writer. And Marjorie, can I give out your Twitter address?
No.
All right. Good enough. Giovanni Petitti, who is a Rogers TV personality, as well as a teacher. What do you teach, by the way, Giovanni?
Teach as little as possible.
He's here all week.
Yes. As soon as these kids know more than me, I'm out of a job, so I try to slow it down a bit.
All right. What subjects do you teach?
I teach business and cooperative education.
Oh, thank God you didn't say gym. Okay. Thank you very much. Cooperative education is very valuable. I got my start in television partially through cooperative education, and I've seen lots of people go through it and wind up having a career in media as a result. So thank you for continuing that. And Giovanni, should I give out your Twitter address?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. It's at Giovanni Petitti, which is GIOVANNIPETITTI. Thank you very much, Giovanni.
Thank you.
And I hope we'll have both you and Marjorie back again. And Mo Amir. At Van Color, that's correct, right?
That's correct. On Twitter at Van Color. Check out the podcast. This is Van Color, the biggest and baddest podcast out of the city of Vancouver. It has a Vancouver-centric focus, but if you're outside of Vancouver, please do check out episode 72 with Ed the Sock, episode 74 with Ian Young, and episode 75 with Nora Loretto, focusing on some more national issues.
All right.
An episode never with Neil Wadowich. Invite me on, bro.
Neil, you don't know the bureaucracy here, man. It's being processed. It's under process.
Okay, I didn't even get an auto refusal, man. I didn't even get an automated refusal.
Did you apply?
Yeah, seriously. How long does it take?
We have to take this one to the courts. I sent it
through Canada Post, so you should be getting it sometime next year.
It's with the check in the mail.
That's right. Neil Wadewich, Neil before Zod, a political commentator, very clever. Follow him on Twitter. I know I can give out your Twitter, but you do it.
Wadewich Neil.
W-A-T-O-W-I-C-H.
Oh, now you're spelling it like my mother-in-law. W-A-Y-T-O-W-I-C-H.
Didn't I say why?
No. Why didn't you?
Why? Oh, you got to stop with the puns because I had a brain fart. All right. Follow him. You'll learn a lot. It's opinion-based, but it's opinion-based on facts. So it's a very valuable tool out there amidst the Twitterverse, which is mostly a load of shit.
And I look forward to getting back behind a microphone for FU Politics.
Well, I'm glad that you were here. And all of you equally provided grist for the mill here. This was a good conversation. I'm very proud of this episode. And if you guys out there want to help keep these kinds of episodes going, I mean, we've got, we discovered that we're getting between 10 and 12,000 downloads a month of FU Politics programs. The rule of thumb is that there's 3 people streaming for every person downloading. So we're getting somewhere between 40 and 50,000 people listening a month. And I'm challenging people. I'm starting this right now. The Loony Challenge. I'll think of a better zinger title for it later. But if everybody who's listening contributes $1, just $1, either through PayPal, which you do at funetworktv@gmail.com, or if you want to subscribe, $1 a month, because it starts at $1, the subscription. They don't get into, you know, 50 cent kind of things. And I mean the money, not the wrapper. If you want to go to become a patron, become a regular supporter of this program, I'm just asking, everybody give a buck. Give us a buck and help us keep going. We have computer equipment that needs to be serviced so we can keep this going. We have people that we want to bring in to do work, which we need money to be able to do. We want to build this out, not just politics, but our FU Music channel, which will be the spiritual successor to Much Music, which people miss, including myself. We want to build this media that is by the people for the people. That's what FU stands for. In addition to being an attitude, it stands for us or for you. And that's what we're doing here. All right. So a buck, just a buck. If you can't afford a buck, then you need it more than I do and keep it, please. But if you can afford $1 a month, please either through PayPal at funetworktv@gmail.com or Patreon, which is Patreon, it's patron with an E added, patreon.com/funetworktv. Be a part of the solution. Otherwise, your apathy is making you part of the problem. And we will talk about Canadian media in an upcoming episode because we really do need to focus on what's going on there. So that's it. I'm Ed Dasok, and I want to thank you for joining us on FU Politics. Here on FU Politics, it's like Luxembourg, which is the capital of Luxembourg, on Fun the FU Network. And we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Fun, the FU Network.